It's time for the Second Funniest Podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Worsham. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 438. With me, as always, is the one, the top to any shock, the jock to any shock.
It's the same, what?
The to any shock. The one, the only, thekevinmiller.com. Jump, press the circle button, Kevin.
Go to the store and buy a PS Vita, then download Gravity Rush, Justin.
Oh, it's available as of 7 days ago, y'all.
It's I've got 49 more minutes till it's downloaded, so by the time we're done with, we got two shows to crank out. You have 49 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I go away. Do you know this game?
I don't. I heard you talk about how excited you were for it, and then Matt mentioned it
last week's show. Last week's awesome show.
So, you know what I really enjoyed? I know I'm not going to interrupt you any longer than this, but Kevin had a video game gathering that I don't understand why.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
All the rage. We did it for Kevin's bachelor party. We talked about that. We had a little LAN party at my house. And then he had a party where he invited some video game playing friends. And we played was Ratchet and Clank's All for One, mm-hmm. which was a lot of fun. Very well written.
Very, very funny.
Yeah. And so it made me decide that I wish listed the collection, because now they have the collection of all the games or whatever.
And they're in HD.
But I got to lose weight. I'm still sticking to that. I'm losing weight till I get the game.
Get the Kinect, and then you lose your weight doing exercise.
No, I can't do that.
All right.
It's like nobody's going to see this. I was going to say, it's like 95 miles to go. There's a Ray Romano documentary, and he, for those of you who are fans of his, he does mind bets. So, like, he has a gambling problem. So
he does, really. Yeah.
So to have, but he's never, like, lost a ton of money or anything. It's just
Is that a chemical addiction like alcohol, where people have an allergic reaction to alcohol? Do they get an allergic reaction to gambling?
I think it's chemical and biological, in the sense that high that you get, or the rush of things being on the line.
It must be. That must be all addiction.
So what he does is he does mind bets. So it's like if he, like he played a golf game and he's like, if I don't golf under 300, then I won't golf the rest of my trip. But one of the first ones was like, if I don't make this putt, then I can't watch TV for the rest of the trip.
Why does he punish himself like this?
I don't know. Because here's the funny part about it. And this is what I think is interesting about comedians, is they do stupid stuff like this. But ultimately, it's their neuroses that become entertaining.
Yeah.
It took me watching this documentary to realize that. So, because it was very entertaining to watch him, but then there's a moment where you kind of go, oh, it's sad, and then you go, but that's hilarious. Because he goes, what he does is, he does the bet, right, but then he finds loopholes in them, which makes them pointless. A loophole in his own bet that he does in his own brain.
Maybe that's how he beats the addiction to gambling, because you can't lose.
That's what he says.
I mean, you can't win when you lose, but if you do it in your head, then you get to soften the blow.
Well, that's his point, is that's how he kind of satiates that need. But what he does is, so he's like, I can't watch TV in my room, right? Or I can't watch TV. And then all of a sudden he decides that he can't watch TV in his room. So what does he do? He goes to his opener's room and dominates his TV during the rest of their trip. And then ships his golf clubs away because he can't play golf the rest of the time. You know, and it's like he's gone out on the road with friends.
I'd watch that show.
That's a good show.
Much more interesting than that thing about his brother and his kids.
How
that
dare you?
Are never on the program.
How dare you? I love that sitcom. It's a great show. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to E3.
Well, that night was a lot of fun. The Ratchet and Clank. What did you like about the game?
I like the writing. I like that it seemed there was a lot of variations.
Yeah,
I mean, I know that we were early on the game, but there was a lot of variations in the cooperative play. I like the layers of the fact that there was a little competition within the cooperative play. That was
friendly competition where we're not effing each other to get through.
But we kind of are.
But it doesn't like I tried
in an irrelevant way.
In an irrelevant way, exactly.
Yeah.
But where I played the Wii U and did the new Mario game, and like if you got the guy with the Wii U pad for that Mario game, your job is to save everyone else's butt from falling down the cliffs and stuff. And if you're not doing that, or if you decide to mess with them, you have infinitely more power than the rest of the people playing the game. And that's not what was happening here. We all have this nice even level playing
Everybody
field.
Can keep playing the game, even if somebody's not good at the game. It clunks it up a little. Like here's my point. My 3-year old.
What is your point?
My three year old played the game at the end of the night with us, and honestly, it wasn't as much fun. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit clunkier, but it still didn't put it to a halt. In my opinion, I don't. You have to tell me if I'm being like a biased dad, but
No.
It didn't screech everything.
Because you were able to lean over and just hit triangle and zip over there.
Well, that's the other, that was one of the most interesting things about it.
I thought it was adorable. He thought, he's like, where's my robot guy?
And I'm
like,
hit triangle.
Move your guy. So, I mean, he doesn't, let's be clear, he's three. He doesn't even know how to hold the thing properly.
Yeah, he doesn't know the basics
know
of the controller.
Left is movement, circle is jump, like none of that.
He's just mashing buttons and moving.
Yeah.
And then he figured out that for a while he was firing for me until the game got a little too complex and I couldn't let him do that.
Right.
But that was another thing that I thought was really awesome and made for a lot of laughs is that when you fall off the cliff or the edge of the platform or whatever, you could hit triangle and you bring out this laser whip and grab the guy closest and then like trail
so
him.
Fun.
So you could save yourself and do these amazing, like this stupid cartoony game from my perspective was like you could do these amazingly cool, funny
so
things. Like, yeah.
And for me, what was silly? What happened?
What was his name? Eric?
Eric
could and play the game very well, and so you would hit triangle to grab onto these things that would launch you to places, or they would carry you like a helicopter. And so the three of us are all hanging, ready and waiting for him. And he's like, "Eric, you gotta grab this thing." He's like, "I'm on it," and he walks towards the edge of the cliff, and he hits a button that essentially opens up a weapon for a vacuum cleaner.
That's right.
And so it was great because he jumped, and you got to see him hit the wrong button, and then like a Merry Melodies. Like Wile E. Coyote cartoon, fall to his death.
And then it's sucking the vacuum the whole way down. The whole way down. It was great.
It was great. He said, as soon as he dies, we all launch away and move on.
Like on with him.
The exact opposite of the Army Rangers. Like, leave no man behind. Not in Ratchet and Clank.
He'll beam in later.
He'll beam in later.
And see, that's what I love about the game is that the community aspect of it. And that's why I wanted to do this gamer night so badly with all you guys. And it was so like the whole night for me was sold when the first time we're on that ship and we all collectively
have to
lean left, lean right, and they don't tell you. We just suddenly just, or maybe they said like lean together, and we suddenly realize like, oh no, they're not kidding. Like we have to all think about gaming in the same way, aside from one of us yelling team captain and left, right, straight, which we were all doing.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. What I loved about it is that we were all grown-ups. Every last one of us had paid rent for many years. We've had utility bills.
Yep.
Credit scores.
Yep. Yeah.
Yet we felt the need that we've all played video games for the majority of our childhoods and into our adult life. It was a simple
many
concept.
Many of us are children or are children on the way.
Right? But we all had to sit there and go, right. Like, because I was just sitting there, I'm like, why can't we just all know that that's what, why do we
that's
have to yell
I
at
thought
it?
Too.
But we did. We had
we
to yell it at each other.
Got
to
make it happen.
Yeah.
And so I'm pleased to see that in a market that is populated by mostly individual playing games.
Yes.
By games that are meant to be played with other people but from your own home.
Yes.
That here is a game that is intended to bring back the family fun or the party element of games. And that's, I can't wait to play it again with all you guys. Because the game is great and beautiful and colorful, and the next day after
and the writing is awesome. It's like
great.
Watching a fun movie.
Yeah.
With no consequence.
It was an old school Saturday night, old school Friday night. And, I wanted to play it again, so I popped it in by myself. And it's still a solid game and all that, but like that magic and that fun was gone. So we're going to burn through these episodes so Justin and I can go and play it some more.
Because I imagine when I heard you say that it's not nearly as fun by yourself, I imagine that just you and I will be half the fun.
Yes,
of
that's
having
probably
four
true.
People. Because there is some,
probably true.
And I think that recently.
Because I play two-player games. Like, we play two-player, but having four people on the mat on the screen at the same time was like, this is amazing.
And I know, and that's, it made me think about it, that because we, because I get reminders on my calendar. We're supposed to, every first Saturday of the month, we're going to do a game day for SFP. And I know that we haven't, or at least I haven't
participated. This one is multiplayer. You get that game, we can play with two other people.
Anywhere, anytime?
Yeah, you can play online or offline.
So I can play, okay. I got to lose pounds.
mental note. Mental wager is if you gain
Reese's
more weight.
Those Reese's peanut butter cups.
You get to get this game.
Oh, that's easy. I'm going to need that bowl of Reese's miniatures in here.
Done.
No, that because so what I was going to say is that I think even though I'm going to speak for myself, I can't always participate because I'm either on the road or I've got stuff. That's my only time with my wife and my kids and stuff like that, is that I really do encourage the and I'm sure they're already doing it, but the other SFP listeners to organize your own through the Facebook page and
they would prefer to have Skype parties.
I know they have Skype parties, which is great. But if you guys have the game or don't have the game, I think it would be a really fun game because there is a common thread of the listeners that they all kind of like Sly Cooper, and it is a similar genre game. That it is also very well written and very humorous with what I found to be delightful characters, and it kind of opened my eyes personally that I would consider it to be a game for kids. That I'm like, oh no, this is a game for me too. It's a Phineas and Ferb of video games, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I really did enjoy it.
But not as...
And I'm curious to see...
Yeah, Phineas and Ferb is good. That's not too meandering, or too pandering, rather. Pandering.
I don't think Phineas and Ferb is at all. That's what I think, and I've talked about it on the other podcast.
I think the Perry the Platypus is a little juvenile, but that's just...
No.
I'm not very...
Impressed. Perry the Platypus that's is only right. to feed into Dr. Doofenshmirtz. That's it.
No,
it's... And Doofenshmirtz is the most adult-oriented humor
there. I don't think it's Doofenshmirtz. Do you have that name right?
I'm pretty sure I do.
All right.
Even Dr. Doofenshmirtz Incorporated. I think so. I'm going to look it up while I'm talking. Because here's my point, is that I brought it up on the other show, is that I think that one of the biggest mistakes that people who make programming for kids is that they make it for kids.
You don't have to
make it for kids. You make it entertaining to adults.
Yep,
and guess what? Adults will like it and kids will like it. And guess who's in control of the freaking controller, the freaking remote at the house and who pays the damn cable bill? The adults.
And buys the toys for
and
the
I'm
kids.
And I'm sick and tired of Caillou and his bald little ass whining all the time at my kid, teach him to talk like a baby and acting like a rubber duck when I can laugh with my kid at Phineas and Ferb, and that's a good time, and we're bonding because we have immature senses of humor. I'm sorry, more on E3. You have 15 minutes.
Oh, gosh, I knew this was going to happen. I can't do it. When we did this the last time during the last press conferences, we did 1 hour of PlayStation and 1 hour of Xbox and Nintendo. So it's not humanly possible.
Yeah.
Because I still want to talk about Gravity Rush, which has been out for a while now, but it's downloading right now. You'll love this game. Do you know nothing about it?
I know nothing.
The lead character's woman is a woman named Kat.
Yeah.
You're
going to love
name.
Her more than you.
It's a very Japanese game, so she has some memory issues and has forgotten who she is. And then she meets a magical cat in a courtyard that has the ability to shift gravity. She learns this shifting gravity ability. So you press a button the first time it happens, and she, grows to 0G in the middle of this courtyard, is flying around, and then you hit the button again, and whatever direction she's pointing in the courtyard, that way she falls, and that becomes gravity, becomes ground. So if she's looking at the wall, hit the button, that becomes the ground, and she jumps building to building, and if she falls down, she'll just fly through the city on the Y axis the whole way down until you hit the button again. You can either readjust gravities to make any point, any of the six directions, up or down, mm-hmm. and then there's a button to press, and that'll make gravity return to normal in case you get all screwed up. So it's been highly anticipated. People have been crazy about it forever, and the art style is beautiful. So it's not only just a cool sounding game with a high concept, but it's cell shading. It looks like a comic book. It's got good character models. It's a sweet game. I'll show it to you. You'll love it.
All right. It'll be downloaded by the time.
Almost. It's moving fast.
I like the idea. So there is no real ground?
Ground. Yeah. Like, you're in a city, and you can either make the wall or the other wall, or the bridge, or, there's stuff. And you can see that the city is built to play in this way. So there's
I'm saying. It seems like a cube.
No, yeah. It's like a major... It's a big city. So there's something way over there. And in the demo, you hit it and fly, and then it goes, you've gone too far, and it kicks you back. But from what I can tell, there's nothing really stopping you. You can make the blimp up in the sky. That can be the ground. So you fly in the whole world.
So how do you die if you can't fall?
There's enemies and stuff. Creatures.
So is it Mirror's Edge-esque?
Better. Mirror's Edge plus actual gameplay.
How dare you? Okay. I thought that was pretty fun.
Good game.
It was clunky for what it did, but...
But it was still pretty good.
Yeah.
So you'll love it. Get into it. What's the doctor's name?
Doofenshmirtz.
All right.
Dr. Doofenshmirtz Incorporated. It's a great show if you don't watch it already.
Xbox?
Not seen Phineas and Ferb?
Oh, I love Phineas and Ferb. Okay, I watch it all the time.
I feel like you should be TiVoing that instead of SpongeBob SquarePants.
I TiVo them both, actually. Thank you very much. Although lately I've been watching Kung Fu Panda the most.
Yeah.
That show I love.
That is a very well-written show, too.
My son and I will watch
that.
Thank you,
by the way, for reminding me. Because for those of you who don't know, Mick is the voice of Pose, Kevin's friend that I met through him and all that stuff. And this is like a show that's like 6 years old. I feel like it's been forever. It'd be like, oh, he's got this show. Oh, we're so excited for him.
3 years.
And then it's like 3 years later, it's nothing. Oh, well now we want to wait for the movie. Now we're going to wait for Christmas. Now we're going to wait for this. And so, and then now it's on and I forgot.
So you told me
like, you should check it out. It's actually really well done. And it is. It's a great show.
It's very well done.
Yeah.
It's very funny. It's very different. And yeah, it's first grade stuff. No, top grade. All right, Microsoft, PlayStation, Microsoft, Sony, or Nintendo? Whose press conference do you want to dig into first?
Microsoft, Sony, or Nintendo?
Here's the order in which they went in that order as well. That Microsoft was Monday morning, Sony was Monday afternoon, and then Nintendo.
Are we cutting them? Like, if we can't get to them, we can't get to them?
No, we'll get to all of them. What more do we got to do on this show but talk about video games? This is
then
the biggest
thing. Then let's do them in the order they came.
All right, sounds great.
Yeah.
It's been a while. So, Xbox, Microsoft, E3 press conference. The first thing right off the bat that they make it very clear.
I think if you're talking about Microsoft, you could say right off the box.
Right off the box is that they are not.
But you have to say right out of the bat.
Yeah, right. Is that a bat? That's pretty batty.
Yeah.
Right away, they make it clear, like within the first 5 seconds of the thing, they say, today we are not, they don't say these words, but what they mean to say is, we are not talking about the Xbox 720. Like the first thing they say is, today it is all about software, and software is what moves it forward, something to that effect. And that actually, in a way, kind of became the anthem of E3 this year.
Like everybody is agreeing we're not making new hardware.
Yeah, they're like, because both Microsoft and Sony did not release a new platform at all.
That's
handheld,
smart.
Anything. And that there's
because I feel like there's a lot of peripherals that haven't been tapped.
Exactly. And there's a small exception to that, which I will get to later, for Microsoft. And of course, Nintendo is releasing the Wii U, but they released that last year. So they did spend their entire press conference talking about games that will be on the new hardware, but they didn't talk about, like last year, it was all about the hardware. Like most of their presentation was talking about, you know, why we developed this and what we think it can do. This year it was, here are the games that will be available on this new hardware that comes out. So it was really nice. I talked to some of the guys on the floor and it was like, how is the show for you? And they said, well, it's been kind of a quieter E3 because there is no new hardware, which of course is what the publishers, the biggest thing they're going to push, and they're kind of the kings of the whole thing. But they said what that means is that the software gets a lot more attention, and that's sure enough, that's what you see. So not the
publishers of E3 is what you mean, right?
The publishers, the game console builders, the big guys.
So the idea of Xbox... Instead, it's weird. I see what you're saying. So instead of pushing what they have, which
exactly.
is what the conference is for,
exactly.
they're talking about what their developers are making
exactly,
on their system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And here's what Xbox is bringing to the table. Here's what developers are developing specifically for the Xbox. Here's what the
So that's the pissing contest. It's not about what we can make.
Here's how many polygons are.
Exclusive titles.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And what kind of stuff we're working on. So that was really great. And of course, that includes for Xbox or for Microsoft, Halo 4, which, you know, is highly anticipated, looks fantastic, and as you know, a totally different developer. You know, and it's great because you really could see them going, well, the next Halo will be on the 720, which again, let's not leave any illusions to ourselves. It's not like the Xbox 720 isn't coming or whatever we're going to call
it. Yeah, I hope they don't.
I hope they don't either, but we'll just call it the 720 for the sake of argument because they're not going to call it the Xbox 3. I hope they don't call it
361.
The 360, yeah, the 360 was such a great name 6 years ago because, like, snowboarding and everything was super hot and all those viral videos of kids skateboarding.
Yeah,
totally
is that where the 360 number came from?
Yeah, doing an Ollie 360 or whatever, although now people are doing, like, Tony Hawk did a 1080 or something.
Oh,
something.
That's what they can't go 720, they gotta go 1080.
Go yeah, 1080i maybe.
Oh!
Whatever, I don't know if it's 1080, it's like 1040 or something.
Stick that in your NDA, Microsoft.
Ow, my NDA. But yeah, so Halo 4 looks pretty fantastic. Fable Journey was there for the second E3 in a row. So this is the big Kinect game that is supposed to allow you to to use the Kinect like a sorcery's pad and like move your arm around. And last year, the developers of it said had everybody agree in writing at their conference to say the game is not on rails. We talked about this in the show that they swore up and down that it isn't like a classic arcade game where you just move forward. There's a bunch of stuff to do, but they didn't have any demos to show otherwise. They showed the game at E3, and I didn't even recognize it as Fable because I was a little out of it. And then they cut back and forth and was like, oh my gosh, that's this Fable game. Yeah, it's definitely not on rails. I didn't get to see it. I still don't understand how you move around in a virtual reality like this, but it looks pretty freaking fantastic.
Yeah, without like at least a nunchuck style controller in your hand.
Nothing. Yeah. But the Xbox or the Kinect keeps getting stronger and stronger. All the things that it can do, the precision. And you've probably noticed that technology is now in some Samsung TVs have it. There's all sorts of starting to see that facial and hand recognition software show up more and more. So that was pretty good.
Well, that's what's going to make us old. You know what I mean? Like, I've been thinking about this for a while.
You have to use your hands? It's like a baby's toy. Back to the Future 2. That's it.
I didn't know that.
It's 3 years from now. He goes into the arcade, and he wants to play. It's them seeding Back to the Future 3 and showing that he can use this gun and stuff. He's like, oh, I could show you. And all the kids are like, you have to use your hands? It's like a baby's toy, which blew me away as a kid. Of like, what do they do? Just sit there and think? That sounds boring. Future kids are boring.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I used to think, I look at it now, and my grandparents used to think it was so amazing that I could set the clock on their VCR.
Right.
You know, and so it's like, I used to think, well, since technology is everybody's thing, like, we're all going to be on the same level. Yeah. But no, that's what it's good. Because already the idea of me playing as a controller, I don't want to be the controller. I know we've talked about it on the show before, but I like the controller in my hand. I like what it does. I don't need to change it, and that's what's going to make me an old man in the next 15 years.
I really do think that technology-wise, and we not to jump to the end of the whole thing, but I really do think that the Wii U is indicating of what the future of game consoles will look like. I think some could say, well, like the Wii was really revolutionary, but as we saw, like that. The Kinect is great and people love it. The Move is great and people love it. But games are not changing dramatically based on that. Like, it's a fun additional thing. It's a good gateway game. But having a pad...
Yeah, because you don't hear about people playing the Call of Duty was a big deal to play with a Move.
Yeah.
And you don't hear a lot of people like, oh, I love that I have this rifle and I can shoot.
Not a big deal. It's cool.
Nobody cares. I think it's because it's clunkier.
But having a game pad, having a controller that has a screen on it that has an infinite number of buttons...
Yeah.
So let's talk about that later. So Madden... So they showed the new Madden game,
with
the Kinect, and it's got some phenomenal collision stuff. Like, they just showed these ridiculously slow motion shots, which kind of is unfortunate because it definitely shows like the joints. They look like they're doing popping and locking in slow motion while crashing into each other. But the collision technology that they have now, like they get hit in the elbow and the whole body reacts perfectly as if it were.
That seems to be their new thing, because I've played the game. There was a game, the game before this one was okay, but it had some like things that made you feel like, ugh, it's kind of, there's a hiccup in here, but I don't know what it is. This game seems very fluid, and you kind of learn through playing and practice that you're like, oh, this is, because you like, in order to complete a pass in this last game, you had to see where the opening in the defense was, and you had to decide to throw the ball before the guy got there.
Right.
No more could you, I mean, you could maybe do it and get lucky, but if you're going to complete a pass on a regular basis and not throw interceptions, you had to hit that button before the guy got into the open spot in the field so that you could thread the needle between the two defenders, which is exactly how you throw a ball in the NFL.
Reality, yeah.
So their new thing has been new tackling animations. Yeah. That's what they keep saying, new tackling animations. Oh, we've got 52 new tackling animations. And that's the only part that makes you feel like, oh, so this, it sounds like what they're saying is that we've taken that to another level now.
By building a whole engine to do it.
Wow.
Yeah, whole mechanics.
I'm excited.
So guess who came out and... Poor Microsoft. Like, I think that they have the worst presentations.
Doug
like,
Flutie.
No, that would be awesome.
Joe Montana. Are you serious?
Yeah. You're second.
My next guess was Pat Summerall.
But all those would be fine guests. But I think out of those three that you just listed, Joe Montana
is the least charismatic.
He's just not a guy you put on camera. Yeah. You know it because he never does endorsements. Yep. He didn't do endorsements back in the day.
Nope.
He doesn't do them now.
If he did, he said one line. He said the catchphrase.
Exactly.
I think he did a game. Gatorade in a McDonald's commercial.
It's not because he's not a great guy and all that. Like, especially the
or legend. Yeah,
the stuff he's done since he's retired, he's done some really big social service stuff. Like, he's a good guy. He's just not an actor, and he knows that. and so it was
not
weird.
Enough to say no to Xbox.
Yeah, well, maybe he plays it or stuff. So you know, these scenes, it's like old school, like early 80s award show campiness.
Now,
like,
I'm curious, I'm sorry, but what is the reaction of Joe Montana walking out on stage?
That's what I'm saying.
Because, like, I feel like to the audience at E3 now, he's irrelevant.
Yeah, they tried. Oh, no, no.
He's like our generation's Johnny Unitas.
Yeah, that might be true. There's a little bit of that, I think.
Or Joe Namath is a better example.
Both of those are good. Because it's like they have to get somebody that's retired. Because, you know, Tom Brady or Eli Manning isn't going to show up at that thing. He's got camp to go to.
Yeah.
Unless it's a guy that just retired.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
But they're not, no big names. I mean, Culpepper was available, but then you're going to get the guy that nobody in the league wants.
Exactly. Yeah.
Culpepper McNabb.
But everybody knows who Joe Montana is. Even,
yeah.
You know, he's a huge name. If you like football, if you like Madden, you're going to know the name. You're going to know the face. And he looks great.
I don't know. People didn't know who Billy Crystal was when they saw him on the Oscars.
Who?
You don't remember this? Oh, you got me. Son of a.
So, really? People didn't know who Billy Crystal
was? Yeah, that was a big thing.
10 years ago.
It trended as a phrase that people were like, who is this old guy? And they weren't doing a bit. Like, who is this guy that everybody's so excited is hosting the Oscars? Like, we don't know who he is. Because it had been so long since he hosted the Oscars, and it wasn't known by today's youth that it's like, oh, this is a big deal. He's like, he's great at hosting the Oscars.
He is the Oscars. Yeah. Like, he's the guy. Him and Tom Hanks. So so he goes up out there and they, you know, it's campy. It's weird, you know, and he's trying to act like he hasn't seen the thing, hasn't done the thing. And you know he's done it 3 times in rehearsal. You know he's been there the whole time. I could be wrong. I highly doubt he just shows up and they're like, okay, go out there and play the thing and they're going to show you what to do.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to have walked out there and they were like, okay, do this, do that. So, whatever. But the thing that is cool, and it was cool to have Joe Montana do it, is that it's on the Kinect. So, the thing that they're working on for a lot of these games is less physical movements, so you don't have to actually, like, drop back and throw your arm to throw the pass, although I'm sure there's a game that does that. You yell out, you can change the plays with audibles. You can literally do an audible in your own living room. So, you got the controller, you look at it, and then you yell at a player and a number, and they move around. He did it, like, 2 or 3 times. And then he yells hike and snaps the ball and it moves through. It was like, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty
and
cool.
Again, having Joe Montana do it, like, he may not be able to act, but he can be a quarterback.
But when he was like, blue 42.
Yeah, I was like, I could never
84
do that.
84 post.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he did. And I'm like, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So that he earned his paycheck there. How are we doing on time?
3 minutes. We go long. Why can't E3 be like our Oscar special, Jimmy Kimmel? Like,
it would have been good if we had done it during E3. This E3 is 2 weeks old.
We're getting better at this.
Yeah,
this is all, honestly, this is all our second year of doing video games.
And
our first year, I mean.
Where's our next developer? It's been an entire week and we haven't had another developer on the show.
He's coming next week.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Next week, we're not. Okay.
Yeah, go for a gauntlet down to daddy's face.
Yeah. Bring it.
Welcome to my dojo.
So I feel like. Well, I don't know, but I'm going to make wild speculations. I imagine last year at E3, Microsoft was sitting there eating their popcorn.
They love popcorn.
Watching the Nintendo press conference.
I think you're doing good so far.
These guys, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Mario.
Wii U.
Make a new game. And they bring out the Wii U, and they're like, wait a minute, touchpad gaming. This is, frack!
And Sony's like, we already got the video, guys.
Oh, no. So they've developed a new technology called Smart Glass, and which is clever because Windows and everything. And the thing, true to Microsoft's kind of business model, like Apple is the we build the hardware and the software company, right? Microsoft is the we build the software, you buy the hardware company. So they're developing the software called Smart Glass, and they made it very clear it works on anything. So that it'll be available on your iPad, it'll be available on your smartphone, whatever tablet, a laptop, whatever, you can turn that into Smart Glass. And the Smart Glass becomes a, like, paramedia technology for whatever you're watching. The big thing that they showed
so
it for.
So you could jump out of a plane with it?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And then
I'm not sure how this could be applicable. But.
Yeah. So like Simon.
Better than a flotation device in my seat.
The example they gave. There needs to be more flotation device jokes in our life. They showed Game of Thrones, like they're watching the show Game of Thrones. And then on the smart glass, they show in real time, like the character's like, I'm going to ride to Rivendell. I don't know, wherever they go. And then on the smart glass, they have a map of the world, and that character starts to move on the screen.
How funny. While you're watching another scene.
While you're watching the other scene. So you see him.
What a stupid, insignificant
choice. I know. That's what I thought.
That's so great.
So bizarre. And they had some other ideas for it as well, but that was kind of the direction that you'd be able to go. That it churns your... The idea is that your iPad can be your controller for your Xbox. And they spent a lot of time talking about Bing and all these other new search engines and languages. They've got a bunch of languages now that you can look for things in Spanish and Colombian Spanish? Colombian English? What's the language in Colombia? Don't want to wake him, guys. So, this is Kevin Miller signing off for my good friend Justin Warsha. Just play the theme song on your own. Okay, bye. just kidding. So, real quick, I was very excited to see a new Xbox Live. I believe it's an arcade game that's downloaded called Wrecketeer that is specifically designed for the Kinect. It had one of the best presentations, one of the second best presentations of all. It was just a really animated girl. It was just a girl that was exciting to watch. Like, she was just like, "This is a game I developed. And it's pretty great." And it's just a game, but she made it good to watch. You know, it's so hard to watch these people up there. Yeah. They're no business being on camera. But it looks kind of fun. You launch stuff at cities, and then you become the catapult. Whatever you fling, you become the thing that's flinging. So if you move this way, move left, right, the thing on the screen flies that direction. You stretch out your arms, and the thing explodes midair and crumbles a bunch more stuff on. So it looks like a game that would be fun for about 10 minutes. But then one of the best things, so they when he was premiering Smart Glass, they come out and they go like, how many times have you felt like you're doing this, you're watching, you're interacting with this game, but you want to be able to check something else out at the same time, and you want to be able to do that from the living room, some like weird scenario that seemed a little far stretched.
Okay.
So the developers of South Park get out there because they've got a new South Park game coming out. And the first thing he says that was clearly unrehearsed and clearly unscripted, he just walks out there and goes, how many times if you want to watch an episode of South Park while digitizing it through your oven, while having that hardwired onto your telephone, all from your refrigerator? And the room's like, they're like, we're not doing that. It was so great. And like, you could see one of them turn to the other one and be like, oh, here, this is going to be bad. We may get some crap for this.
No, they can't. That's what they do. That's great about being irreverent.
That's what I love it.
You can say whatever you want, and everybody's like, they're just being them.
That's what they do. They earn their right to be that way. And like, that's what happens when you have the creators of South Park come out and do the thing. But they were great. The game, have you heard anything about the game?
No.
It's The Truth of the Stick. I'm butchering the name. But the idea, they worked on it for years to make sure that they said, we want the game. It's funny that Matt was talking about South Park 64. It was probably the last time South Park's had a game. But they said they want the game, now that the technology is so strong, to look and play like an episode of South Park. Like, that is the goal. They said we'd only be interested in it if it looked just like South Park. So the game mechanic is...
Stick of Truth.
Stick of Truth. The game mechanic is, you are the new kid that moved into town, so you get to design your kid in the same like cut and paste fashion that the other characters are designed in, and then there's this mega event that happens there that the Stick of Truth is all circled around, but it's all in the same sort of like humor and in the universe of South Park. And if you watch the in-game stuff, the gameplay and the cutscenes look just like an episode of South Park.
Which is a fun part about being simple animation.
Exactly, yeah. Like, that came back. It took them 15 years, but that, like, full circle, yay! Rendering is to the point now where everything looks that good. So, I'm not a South Park super fan. I enjoy what they do. I like how they really poke fun at social norms and stuff. I may check that game out, even though the fact that I'm sure that there's, like, a river of diarrhea somewhere in the game, which does not excite me at all.
I'm pretty sure that's what the stick of truth is.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty sure. So that looks pretty great. Then, guess who came out to endorse Dance Central 3?
Dance Central 3.
And did a full-blown musical number, not to the game. Just a performance.
Okay, now here's the... I like that I take this too seriously.
I know.
But I feel like the best choice would probably be Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
But he's too relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you'd have to go before him. Britney Spears isn't going to go to E3. So it's got to be somebody who's got an album. But so they
Five. Four.
Christina Aguilera. Three, who else?
Two. One.
Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson. No, I'm sorry. The correct answer was Usher.
Usher.
I was you were very close. Yeah. You were like dancing around it. Usher literally gets up there for no. I was like, "Well, this is
just
cool."
Does the song?
And I was for like the first 10 seconds. I thought, "Well, way to go! They're breaking up the presentation. They're doing something more fun." And then, but he just full on does an entire song and performs it right there. I'm like, "That was useless. Why? Why?"
Why?
Don't understand.
Why do you hate us?
Why do you do that? It was great. It's not a press conference.
Yeah.
If the president got up there tonight, America, hold on. Usher's going to come here and
break this up. Going to do this, break up the monotony of the State of the Union.
Dance Central 3 coming up.
I like that. I like that's your update. It's happening.
Yeah. And then... Oh, yeah, this really weird moment. I have it in my notes here, but I can't recall it entirely accurately. But they call out Don Matrick, who is the one of the developers for it, and he was just really awkward. And he tried to do some sort of Usher pun in it, like, I would like to usher in. And he, like, looks out to the audience. And,
right, guys?
And he breaks him, like, he makes himself laugh, and the room was like, huh. Ha ha. Good one.
Oh, gosh.
And it's painful. It's painful.
Oh.
But then they showed some Black Ops 2, and I wrote female prez. Oh, yeah. It's got a female president in it. So Black Ops 2, you're helping the president, which Madam President. So it's like watching The Veep in 8 years. And it has got, have you seen any of this stuff for this Black Ops 2? It is the most unbelievable opening sequence to a game I think I've ever seen. Like, it is, it is incredible. And
it's exclusive to Xbox?
No. I'm not sure. I don't think so, but that's just where they showed it. But the thing that was so clever about it, when I watched it, I'm like, what happens is you're driving into Los Angeles, so the camera's in the back of this truck, and the president's there, and then just some crazy crap goes down in the skyline up ahead. Just buildings are blowing up, helicopters are flying, and this truck just comes, I think it's a helicopter, just comes rolling right at the car, and then skips over, and it is... I was sitting at my desk at work listening to this with headphones, and I have dual monitors on my desk, so I have one doing real work down below and watching the E3 coverage up above, and I'm watching, then I glance up to watch this clip, and I literally out loud in my office at my church go, oh, shit. I'm like, well, thank God no one's in this room. and what I think made it so visceral is that the camera being inside the truck has this, like, you see the silhouette of the inside of the truck, so it creates these like natural clipping things that we
sucked you in.
Yeah, as humans I've been in a car. I know what that frame looks like. I don't know what it feels like to go out into Afghanistan and just run around and hide in a bush. I have no frame for that.
Yeah,
I know you know. But I know what it's like to sit in a car, and I can only imagine what it'd be like, because the thing kind of like ducks above the window of the car, so you can't see it for a beat, and it comes back down and goes back up. I was like, I've had that panicked moment where something is coming. Like, you can't see everything. Yeah. And it that alone was worth it. Everybody should run out and buy that game right now. That was the Microsoft press conference and everything.
I wish I had a sound effect of me leaving.
Get out there. Next time we'll go through PlayStation and Nintendo. And,
nice.
We'll break that down.
So what happened was I had the sound turned down, so I didn't hear the ding. That's why we're so long. So I apologize. mean, you, the listeners, are happy, but...
What are we at?
8 minutes. That's not bad.
Oh, that's... we've done worse.
Yeah. Give us a call, 408-228-4911. Send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Don't forget to keep sharing these episodes with your friends. Go to secondfunniestpodcast.com. Click on your favorite episode. Right below it... you don't have to click on the episode. I'm sorry. Below it, it just says share this. That'll send an email. And it'll say, you can also do it on Facebook and tell your friends. Please tell everybody about the Facebook page, facebook.com/secondfunniestpodcast. Follow us on the Twitter. Kevin's on there, both of those, all the time.
All the time.
At Second Funniest is our Twitter handle. I think that's it. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worsham saying,
okay, bye.